Returning to Mark chapter 11 tonight, verses 22 to 26 particularly, where we see the link between faith in Jesus Christ, which is essential and foundational to the Christian life, and then how faith and prayer go hand in hand, and how prayer is linked to forgiveness. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as he's revealed to us in the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith in Jesus Christ is the starting point, trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's the starting point of the Christian life. But the Bible recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience. And nor does it recognize any obedience, Christian obedience, that does not spring from faith. And that obedience will lead always to prayer and forgiveness. And it's important we see those links, because some people today are saying, have faith in yourself. The Bible says, Proverbs 28, verse 26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Prosperity preachers say, have faith in faith. But notice what the Lord Jesus Christ says here in verse 22, Mark 11, verse 22, have faith in God. Not faith in yourself, not faith in faith. Have faith in God. Who are you trusting in? Because your faith cannot be any stronger than the person you are trusting in. The important thing is, who is your faith in? So there's a call here to have faith in God. There's a call then in verse 24 to pray. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray. And then, verses 25 and 26, there's a call to forgive. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. So those three strands are in these verses: faith, prayer, forgiveness. And although those truths are not difficult to understand in one sense, they can be difficult truths to fully embrace and perhaps even harder to fully apply in our lives. Now, there are other places in the Bible where the Lord Jesus Christ teaches the same truths. Here, like a good teacher, it's as if he's emphasizing those truths for the sake of the disciples. Those words, have faith in God, the words are very simple, just four words. Have faith in God. Yet they are revolutionary words. Either God tonight is worthy of your trust or he isn't. And if God is, God is worthy of your trust, that changes everything. If you know who God is and he's worthy of your trust, the God who's the great unchangeable I am, you trust in him. It's the most important truth in the universe. So let's look at this first. Faith. Have faith in God. And then Jesus says, verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he asks. Now when Jesus said to Peter, have faith in God, we must understand it's in the light of what has just happened. In a sense, Peter lacked faith. In verse 14, when Jesus said to the fig tree, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And when the word of Jesus came true, as the word of Jesus always comes true, when the disciples passed that way again the next morning, the fig tree was dried up from its roots. Verse 20. And then Peter, Rabbi, look, he said, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Verse 21. It's as if Peter was amazed. The Lord Jesus Christ had not poisoned the fig tree. He hadn't chopped it down. He'd merely spoken the word, and the fig tree had dried up from its roots. And it's in that context that Jesus then says to Peter and the disciples, have faith in God. Believe that God can act. And it's almost like an extreme illustration then. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, they're standing perhaps on the Mount of Olives, to this mountain, be ye removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. If you think it's incredible that God can cause a fig tree to wither and die because of a word from Jesus, it's as if that's nothing. When you trust in God, God may do even more remarkable things. Now, this is a recurrent theme in the Gospel of Mark. The Lord Jesus Christ often challenges people to believe. From the very first chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to believe. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Believe the good news. Believe that Jesus is the Messiah who has come into the world to rescue, to save. Then there was a woman with a hemorrhage, and she just touched the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was instantly healed. Why? The Lord Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Your faith, she believed. When the news came back to the synagogue official telling him that his little daughter had died, the Lord Jesus said to him, "Do not be afraid, only believe." There was a father who brought a son with an evil spirit to be healed. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." So the Lord Jesus has spoken about faith, believing. He healed this sick woman. He raised a young girl from the dead. He cast out the evil spirit and healed the son who was sick. Believe, Jesus says. Here, have faith in God. Believe. Now, what makes the interpretation of this particularly difficult is we have never seen anyone pray and an entire mountain has moved into the sea. Not Moses, not Elijah, not Isaiah, not Jesus. We've not seen, and they didn't see, the Mount of Olives suddenly move into the sea. But the Lord Jesus, you understand, is emphasizing a point. His point is, God can do amazing things if you have faith. Do you have faith? Don't you cry out to God, "Lord, tonight, strengthen my faith, increase my faith." But the important thing is, who is your faith in? Have faith in God. So the second thing we see here is prayer. Faith leads to prayer, verse 24. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So faith and prayer intersect here. Prayer is an expression of faith. The call to have faith is also a call to pray. And it's a big promise. Whatever things you ask when you pray. Now, it isn't the first time that the Lord Jesus has said something like this. In the most famous sermon ever preached, the Lord Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." If you're continually asking from God, you will receive, says Jesus. If you're continually seeking, you will find. If you're continually knocking, it will be opened to you. In John 14, Jesus says to the disciples, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." He goes on to say, John 15, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." And John then in his first epistle, "Whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us, whatever we ask. We know that we have the petition that we have asked of him." So there are great promises from God in the Bible. Isaac Watts has written a book called The Promises of God. And what he basically does, he lists under different headings of our need as we pray, the promises of God that apply to what we're praying about. So the Lord Jesus here is stirring the disciples to have faith and to pray. And of course, our hearts are stirred, aren't they? When we pray and God hears and answers our prayers. Now, there are times when it seems to us our prayers are unanswered. Prayers go unanswered because of a lack of faith. That's the implication, isn't it, of this text, where Jesus says to them, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe." On the Mount of Transfiguration, when the Lord Jesus came down and the disciples had attempted to cast the demon out of the little boy and they'd failed, and the disciples asked Jesus, "Why could we not cast it out?" The Lord Jesus Christ said to them, "This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer." Prayer and fasting we have in the New King James. A lack of faith will result in unanswered prayer. When we come to God, we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. James says the same thing. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." But then, this connection of faith to prayer, James says, "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So pray with faith. And prayers go unanswered because sometimes there is a lack of purpose to glorify God. When Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." In my name, says Jesus, with the motive of God's glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as the Lord Jesus is glorified, the Son of God, the Father is glorified. But if we pray with a lack of purpose to glorify God, we cannot expect then that our prayers will be answered. James says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Not with the aim of glorifying God, but spend it on your own pleasures, says James. The "God, give me a new car" type of prayer. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is not like a genie in the lamp who can be manipulated to give you anything you want. Our prayers must be aligned with God's purposes, God's glory, the kingdom of God. Prayers might be unanswered because of a lack of faith, or because of a lack of purpose to glorify God, or because of a lack of obedience. Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. A disobedient life, the psalmist says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." Isaiah says, "When you spread out your hands, God says, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, God says, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." Or Proverbs 15:29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." So a life of obedience is linked to the experience of answered prayer. Which is what Jesus meant when he said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." So faith, the glory of God, a life of obedience. Perhaps you have heard the account of a captain of a ship sailing from England to Canada who realized that he had George Muller of Bristol on board. George Muller was a man who was known for the way in which he prayed for the many orphanages that he had set up and were under his care. I can remember quite early on in my life after I'd become a Christian, somebody giving me a copy of the autobiography of George Muller. It's a very challenging but a thrilling account of how God used him to set up orphanages, and then he prayed and God provided for the needs of those orphan children in the orphanages in wonderful ways. Well, the captain of the ship that Muller was on had been stuck on the bridge for 24 hours because the ship was caught in a dense fog. And it was in the days before radar and technology. And so the ship was stuck. They couldn't move. So George Muller made his way up to the bridge and said to the captain, "Captain, I've come to tell you I must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon." And the captain told him it was impossible. Muller said to him, "Very well, if your ship cannot take me, God will find some other way." Now, I don't know what he meant by that exactly, because there were no helicopters around in those days. "If your ship cannot take me, God will find some other way. I have never broken an engagement in 57 years. Let us go down into the chart room and pray." And the captain looked at Muller, and he writes that he thought to himself, "What lunatic asylum has this man come from? I have never heard of such a thing." And the captain of the ship said, "Mr. Muller, do you know how dense this fog is? The ship cannot move." Now, Muller's reply was interesting. He said, "My eye is not on the density on the fog. My eye is on the living God." That's a challenge and a lesson for us. My eye, said Muller, is not on the fog. My eye is on God. So Muller took the captain down into the chart room. And the captain says that he prayed a very simple prayer. And when he'd finished praying, the captain thought that perhaps he should pray too. But Muller put his hand on his shoulder and told the captain not to pray. "As you do not believe that God will answer, and as I believe that he's already answered, there's no need whatever for you to pray about it at all."